Hello, you are listening to Norpod, a podcast brought to you by ArabsForChrist.org. Thanks for joining us again this evening, or wherever it is, your side of the globe. This evening I'd like to share with you an interview that took place on February the 12th, 2010, just a few weeks ago, about some things God is doing in Iran. Now, although it might be kind of a surprise for you, some of you guys, lots have been going on in Iran, or with Iranians lately. With Arabs for Christ, we've been passing out large amount of materials in a Fardisi to Iranians that come here to Lebanon. We're in the process of trying to obtain 1,000 New Testaments. We're trying to get more and more tracts together so that we can be more prepared to give to these folks. There's been a very openness that it's very unheard of with Arabs among the Iranians. There's a large amount of underground churches in Iran all over the place. Anyhow, so we'll be listening to this interview. It's from Mission Network News. You can find their website at mnnonline.org. And after that, we have a special guest, which I'll introduce a little bit more thoroughly after this. May the Lord bless you guys.
Well, clashes in Iran on the anniversary of the Islamic Revolution taking place today. And we have seen actually a rash of this type of clashes going on within Iran over the last year. With me on the telephone is Evangelist Sammy Tippett of Sammy Tippett Ministries. Sammy, welcome to our broadcast today.
Thank you. It's always great to be with you, Greg.
You too, my friend. Now, there probably are some listeners that don't know that you actually have a ministry into Iran, especially the Farsi speakers or the Persian speakers. Why don't you, first of all, tell us about the ministry that you have to the people of Iran and how people are responding.
Well, we've had for a little over 10 years now a ministry into the country. It began with a prayer walk a little over 10 years ago through Iran. And when we went there, it was incredible, the response of people. And we didn't go there to preach or to share Christ. We just went to pray. And so we were a group of Americans, and people would just respond to us as Americans in the most positive way, which just blew me away, because everything I saw on television was different from what we were experiencing. And one of the things that we saw was that there was this deep-seated growing anger and animosity towards the government, because the government was not permitting freedom of belief, freedom of expression. There was this harsh Islamic regime that was oppressing the people, and there was this growing disdain for the government, for the clergy, for Islam. And over the last 10 or so years, we've seen this anti-Islamic attitude among the people growing, and we've seen people hungering and beginning to ask questions and looking for answers, and as consequently, there's been a tremendous response to the gospel. We produce a television program that goes in weekly to the country by a satellite. We have a website. We have conferences that we have held outside of the country for both Iranians who live in Western Europe, the diaspora, as well as for Iranians who are inside the country. We have had my books published and distributed both inside the country and outside the country. And everything that we have gotten from all of the things that we have done has been just this tremendous response. It has been growing, in fact. Over the years, it has just continually been growing. So you've had two things that have been taking place. This disdain for the strict form of Islam, and then this hunger for a message of grace and truth and hope and freedom, which is found in Christ. And I think that what has happened in the past year is that it has just continued and is beginning to erupt and explode onto the streets. And we've had mixed reports back from what has been happening in the past year on the streets. From some, as people are more open to the gospel as a result of it, you know, of what the government has done and their harsh treatment of those who have gone to the streets. And then on the other hand, there has been some backlash of the government really taking it out on the believers, and been a number of believers who have been arrested. There were a number of people who were arrested over the past year since all the demonstrations have taken out have taken place. They have not been necessarily because of the street demonstrations, because they were participating in them, but they were directly. I think the government has used the Christians as a sort of a whipping boy to come and say, okay, we've got to take this out on someone. So they've really cracked down on the Christians, and it's made it very difficult. And as I mentioned, a number have been arrested. By the same token, there's been more openness, especially among those who have gone out on the streets and have experienced what they have seen from the government. It's caused them to turn away from Islam and look to something that is filled with truth and grace. And, of course, they found the gospel and Christians. And so Christians have had a tremendous opportunity during this time, but it's also been a very difficult time for them.
I want to talk a little bit about the demonstrations taking place Thursday because of, obviously, the celebration of the revolution back in, 1979, I think it was. How do you view this? I mean, it appears as though, obviously, people are not celebrating. They're demonstrating against the government.
You know, I find it to be very ironic because there was a revolution that took place that brought the people back to Islam and made this an Islamic republic. And consequently, as a result of that, the people have now seen Islam for what it is, and they are rejecting it. One of the key Christian leaders from Iran said to me once, he said, you know, Sammy, the greatest evangelist Christianity in Iran, do you know who it is? And I was thinking someone like Billy Graham or someone like that. And he said, the greatest evangelist was the Ayatollah Khomeini, because whenever he came in and the Islamic Revolution took place, it exposed what real Islam is all about. And so as a result of that, the people, having seen it and lived under the oppression of it, they are rejecting it, and they are looking forward to something that gives freedom. And, of course, you know, the greatest freedom in the world is in Christ. And so that's why many people have turned to Christ. But I think it's just an ironic thing that everything has come full circle now, you know, from an imposition of Islam upon the people to now the people really understanding what that is and rejecting it.
Sammy, as it relates to your ministry, obviously you're doing programming into Iran, being translated into Farsi or Persian. There's a need to do even more, isn't there? And can people help you accomplish even more?
You know, there is a need to do more, and we are doubling up this year on our efforts to train leaders. We believe that the greatest need at this moment is leadership training, because so many people are coming to Christ that there's, with all of these new, and a lot of them are young people coming to Christ, there's a need for leadership training, a base for just good teaching, and some things that will help them to in their walk with Christ to build up the church during this time of great stress that's going on. So we're doubling up our efforts this year. Of course, people can support that. They can go to our website, sammytippett.org, and they can make contributions. They can pray for us. They can keep up with us and you know, with what's going on. We will be sharing things as things develop on our website.
And Sammy, too, I know that you have a desire not only to share the gospel with people, but as you mentioned, conduct training and discipleship and to help leaders, especially new believers, become leaders within the church. But you're not actually able to get into Iran anymore, are you?
No, I'm not. In fact, I've been deemed as an enemy of the state, and so what we do is all from outside. Our television broadcast is beamed in by a satellite. We do. We have our website, of course, it's in the Farsi language and in the Persian language, and then we conduct conferences in what I would call safe places, where we bring leaders from outside the country and inside the country to train them and help them to grow in Christ.
Well, if you obviously had to name a couple of prayer requests, what would they be as it relates to obviously the demonstrations that we're seeing on TV?
I would say pray that Christians would have great opportunities of sharing the gospel at this time. It's a critical moment in the history. It's fresh in my mind what took place in Eastern Europe, and pray that kind of movement of God's Spirit would take place in the Persian world. And I believe that they're ripe, they're ready for a great awakening, and pray for that revival to take place.
All right, talking with Sammy Tippett, evangelist Sammy Tippett with Sammy Tippett Ministries, about the situation in Iran. And, of course, Sammy, people can go to your website. Could you just give your website and specifically an area where they can go and give to your ministry?
It's just go to www.sammytippett.org. That's SammyTippett.org. And there will be a link that says Opportunities. And under that link of Opportunities at the top, it will say Contribute or Prayer Team. And so you can become a part of either one.
All right, Sammy Tippett, thanks for being our guest today on Mission Network News.
Thank you, Greg.
Cycle.
And generally, every generation rebels against itself. For example, the previous generation, you can see with Egypt, for example, we can see cycles of where it's very secularized, where none of the women are wearing hijabs, and then it becomes very Islamic, and then their children rebel against that, and their children rebel against that. It is a cycle. Not to say that people are born again or recycled and that they can jump out when they want into a fad, but it does happen. For example, with Iran, a lot of people would probably argue that the reason the Islamic Revolution occurred was more political things rather than necessarily religious reasons. For example, when you look at... Anyway, I probably shouldn't get into politics on here. Anyhow, let's look at this next interview here. It is with a good friend of mine, Peter. So let's go ahead and listen to that.
Hello, everyone. This is Johnny, and I got Peter here.
Hey, guys.
Peter's what would be called a missionary kid. Peter, where are you from?
I was born in Syria, so technically I'm Syrian, but my parents are both from Europe. My dad's from Holland, my mom from Germany, so I don't know what you'd call me.
What languages do you speak?
English, Arabic, Dutch, and German, and yeah, that's it.
Uh-huh. Okay, so... What do you, out of the missionary kids that you've met, how many of them would you say out of 10 are probably born again?
I don't know, like 3 or 4.
So most of them probably go to school at the place you go to school, at the evangelical school probably, right?
Yeah, or like the most Christian school their parents can find.
So at those Christian schools, what is the life like there? Would you say it's gonna help the kid? Does it help the kid come to Christ, or what do you think the impact is?
Well, we hear about Christ a lot in my school, which helps a lot. But I think after a while, whoever doesn't want to hear, he just builds up immunity against it and just doesn't hear it anymore, or doesn't comprehend it. And yeah, so. That really sucks, and there are people who, there's so much temptation in our school that people just fall for it.
So, like, if the kids, like, let's say a missionary, like, he's out here, he's raising his kids, do you think a lot of these missionaries realize, like, that their children are maybe doing sex or doing drugs or whatnot? Do you think they have any idea of the kind of lifestyle their children might be living?
I'm pretty sure they don't know, but because the son could easily lie to his parents, and there's no way they could find out except if they were caught, which they probably won't be.
So do you think, like for instance, before you came to Christ, what was it like, living as a child of a missionary? Was it kind of, were you ashamed of it? What was your feelings towards it?
Yeah, I guess I was ashamed of it. Like, when I would ride in cabs, they would ask me, yeah, what's up, what are your parents doing here, and what are you doing here, why are you here? And I'd just say, like, yeah, my mom's a teacher, and which is technically not lying, but, yeah. And I'd just say my dad, he, like, works with the UN or whatever, just because it's embarrassing to say that, that they're evangelists.
So how do you think it affected you, after, wait, one more thing about that, has there ever been any kind of danger or any kind of thing that you can think of that as a result of your parents' job? Like any kind of dangers against you and your brothers and sisters? No, why not?
I guess you could say that there were some dangers, just a few. As a matter of fact, when we were living in a strongly Muslim city, Tripoli, they tried to kill us, but it wasn't too bad.
Cool. Well, after you came to Christ, how has that changed all your perspective on everything? Do you think it's definitely worth it, you know, to like, if you had a family and kids someday, would you be willing to risk the same things that your parents risked?
Well, right now, after I'm a believer, I see that what they're doing is just to praise the Lord, and I totally agree with what they're doing, but of course, I see, like, some things I don't agree with, and I see things I do agree with, so if I'd be a missionary when I grow up, like, what I don't like about my parents, I change, and what I like, I try to do better. It's like looking at your teachers if you want to be a professor when you grow up.
So do you think, like, for instance, when you're here in Lebanon, you know, you got blonde hair, do you feel kind of like a foreigner still, even though you speak really good Arabic? And also in Europe, you also feel like a foreigner there, not knowing necessarily how things are going on?
I feel foreigner everywhere, because, like, I'm definitely not home here, because people just don't treat me the same. Yeah, even though I speak really good Arabic, like, they try to rip me off if I go in cabs or... Yeah, they tried, like, yeah, they just treat me differently, I guess. And in Germany, they treat me differently. And, yeah, like, I don't feel like home anywhere except at this, like, camp I go to each year. It's, like, a missionary camp, and, like, only the teenagers of missionary kids go there. And that's real fun.
So, like, all these missionary kids, they've heard the gospel all the time, like, what do you think would be the best way for them to hear the gospel? Like, what if they've heard it all the time and yet they still haven't received it? What should the parents do? What should other people do? Should it be something that people should think about? What do you think?
It's definitely something that people should take into consideration. And I really think that the kids, after a while, they stop listening to their parents just because they've heard the same message over and over and over again. So, I don't know. I think the best way for them is just to get, like, a spiritual mentor. Maybe their youth group leader, someone who will check up on them, make sure they're doing the right thing. And, yeah.
So, like, how did that happen for you? How did you actually hear it and actually listen? And how did you get born again? And how did your friends and family, how did everyone respond to that?
Well, first of all, before I got to know the Lord, I was, like, a complete hypocrite, because, like, with my friends, I'd have fun, do whatever they do and whatever. Sin, of course. And when I go back to church with my parents, I'd, like, act all holy and whatever. But, the way it came about was there was this man... missionary that arrived from the States, and he was pretty cool. He saw me. He basically knew what was going on. So we started praying the Bible, praying and reading the Bible together, and just watching like 30-minute videos about evangelizing and how that helps you and stuff. And yeah, since then, it's been right with the Lord.
So how did your family respond to that? Like, your immediate family, that's like your grandparents and stuff, how did they see that? Did they notice right away the change? How about your grandparents and whatnot?
My family definitely noticed the change. They even still talk about it. They're like, wow, look how you changed. Before you were like a total jerk to us. Now you're not. And, but... my grandparents don't like the idea that my parents are out here evangelizing or being missionaries. So I'm sure they know that I'm a believer, and I told them myself. And they're like, as long as you don't become a missionary, because that'll ruin your life. And I'm like, I don't know yet what I want to be. If I want to be a missionary, if God wants me to be a missionary, so be it. Yeah.
So how have your friends, you know, a lot of these friends you got from, probably most of them come from your same school, the evangelical school. How did they respond to your step of faith or coming to Christ?
Well, they have known me most of my life, and Yeah, they saw that it completely changed me in the way I acted and thought and did everything. So that really, really, really helped.
So, like, do you think, for instance, like, you know, they went through the same school and things like that. How do they respond to you when you try and talk to them about this, about salvation and things? Are they, do they listen to you? Do they change the topic? Do they get upset? Do they laugh? What do they do?
Well, some of them listen to me, and because it's just not from the same people, because they've heard it from their teachers and principal and everything and in chapel, but I think it was like the first time hearing it from a friend. So they reacted pretty positively, but some others were like, yeah, yeah, whatever, we've seen you before, and just shut up.
So do you think, for instance, it's better for, like for instance, if parents, if couples wanting to get married and have kids, do you think it's better for them to raise the kids out here or to move the kids later on in life? What is easier for the kid to grow up out here or to grow up and then move, or what's easier for them to get integrated and feel like they kind of belong?
Well, I lived here all my life, and I know this this friend of mine, his parents are also missionaries out here, and he came here like a few years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, and he doesn't feel home here at all, so, because there's a bit of a language barrier, so I would definitely say it's better to raise your kids, like, if you want to get married and have children and come out, like, get married, then come out here, and then have your kids here. Because, yeah.
Do a lot of these guys that are, they grew up, or they were born outside, do they kind of all their life while they're here just kind of long to leave here, just constantly kind of getting angry and thinking, wow, I really wish I was in this other country. It's so much better there. And instead of kind of being thankful for what they have here, just kind of being angry and wishing they were somewhere else.
Well, whatever you do, it's inevitable that your son will feel rejected because, yeah, I guess that's what you're giving up as a parent, but still, it depends if that child is like actually a believer or not. If he's not, then, yeah, he'll hate it here and he'll want to go back. But if he is, I think he'll agree with his parents and, yeah, just enjoy it here. And if he has to go back before college or something, that's a different story.
So what do you think a parent could do if they knew, you know, they're a missionary out here and they noticed that their teenager is definitely not walking with the Lord? What kind of things can they do to try and make a difference?
I think if you talk to your son, it won't really help, because when you're a teenager, you don't necessarily listen to what your parents have to say. So, I think it's more important to find him, like, a tutor or, I don't know, or, like, discipline him more before he gets his teenage years, and then when he does, he'll listen to his parents more obediently, I guess.
Yeah, that's good. So, like, Prince, what would you say if you were talking to a bunch of missionary kids and you knew that they probably weren't believers? What would you say to them if you were able to give them any kind of advice, or you're able to talk to them directly? Like, what would you say to them?
I go, like, you guys know the whole story about Jesus and he came to save you. Why don't you live it? Is it because it's too hard or sin or whatever? And I'd challenge him about it and go, like, come on, you can be better than that. And just, yeah, and just hope that, I don't know what I'd do.
So one last question for you. So as growing up on the mission field, seeing what the life is like day in and day out, not just with your parents, but with other folks, do you think that would make you more likely to want to become a missionary when you get older, or less likely?
If I'm walking right with the Lord, before I leave my parents and head out for college, then definitely, like, because I see their life. But it depends how strong the parents' influence is on the kids. And for me, yeah, I think it like increased the chances of me becoming a missionary. But when I think about other kids whose parents are missionaries here, they just can't wait to go to college and like live their own life just away from their parents.
So you think there's a lot of people that are just very... So basically, if they come to Christ, they'll be able to understand more, and if they don't come to Christ, they're going to be kind of resentful and bitter and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Well, thanks, Pedro. May the Lord bless you.
Yeah, you're welcome.